All right. And so today I will be sharing on today's how-to. Today's how-to is on the topic of friendships. And you might think this is so obvious, right? Friendships. I've had friendships since I was a little kid. I've been doing friendships for so long. By now, you're probably thinking you're an expert. Yet, if you're a little older, like myself, you start to say things, and you hear this all the time, that as you get older, it becomes increasingly difficult to make friends. And for some reason, the older you get, the harder it gets. But you would think the older you get with all this wealth of experience in terms of relationship and friendships, you'd be an expert. It'd be so easy, yet maybe it's not as simple as you would think. So let's begin with a fundamental, simple question. And you can kind of formulate the answer in your head. Why are friendships important? Just take a minute, think in your head. Why are friendships important? Now, if you have that answer, hopefully it's just one sentence, turn to your neighbor and let them know why friendships are important. All right. Did anyone get the exact same answer? Anyone? Yeah. Well, just so you know, there isn't one right answer. There's no wrong answer. And I asked my house church, Mac Daddy House Church. I'm also doing a GIC and EG class right now. And I asked them this question. Did a little market research in advance. And this is some of the responses I got. Friendships are important. And maybe you got some of these. Because they are the family you choose. I know, it's pretty good, right? Family, Christ family, you get to choose. You have choice. They know you and it brings out other parts of us. They are your support and you have somebody to lean on. You do life together, so you don't have to do life alone. Accountability, iron sharpens iron. God created us for relationships. So in John 13, 34 to 35... the GIC class should be very familiar. Jesus provides a profound reason for why friendships are important. In John 13, 34 through 5, a new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. All men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And so we see here there is something significant and special that happens as Christians when we love one another. When we love one another, something happens in the way you go about it that it causes people to see you do relationship, love one another, and not only do they appreciate it, hopefully, not only are they inspired, but what's most significant is they see God. They see God at work. And so when we're talking about this love, love is not merely a sentiment. It is an action. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, it reminds us we must love not with words or speech, but with action and truth. So, what does that love in action look like? What kind of love would cause people to recognize us as God's disciples? So, we're going to explore three main points, and it's drawn from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 to 26. And just give a little context. In this chapter, Paul uses the human body to illustrate what the body of Christ is to be like. Though spiritual gifts vary from person to person, we all share the same source, the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit who gives out the different gifts to different people. So before we get into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's just start with a word of prayer. Yes, Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for this day, the worship, just the sharing from Tim, the GIC graduates. You're in it all, Lord. And we just lift up this message to you on friendships, on relationships. And we know you created us for relationship. There's intentionality in what you do, Lord. And so we just open up our hearts to you. Whatever you desire for us to assess in our lives, we invite you to touch us, that your touch would transform us, bring more fruit and greater love in our relationships. And most of all, that just as in the passage, that the love that we have for each other would glorify you. So we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to go from verse 14 to 26, but first we're just going to do it in parts. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 to 16, and so again, Paul is paralleling the human body to the body of Christ, and this is what he says. He says, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any the less part of the body." And so, conclusion from this is our differences don't disqualify us from the body. We look at the human body, and it's clear that every single part of the body is part of the body, whether it be the eyes, the toes, the ears, the pinky, even the toenail, right? We would come to the conclusion that it is 100, all these different parts, 100% they are part of the body. Likewise, the body of Christ. Despite all our differences, different strengths, different weaknesses, different inclinations, we're all part of the body, 100%. Let's continue. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 17 to 20, it says, "If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body." So, second conclusion from this verse is that our differences are necessary. We cannot all be the same body part. We need eyes to see. We need nose to smell. And we need a pinky for what? Drinking. Is that what someone said? Drinking? Really? I cannot do this. Or if you drink tea, you do this. So you don't need the pinky. I was going to say to itch your ear, right? I know. Pick that up. The point is, our differences are necessary. And so likewise, as the body of Christ, our differences are necessary. We cannot all just prophesy. I mean, the prophetic gift is amazing. Paul says we should all desire it, but we can't all do it, right? We need people to have the gift of hospitality so that when new people come or just people who don't feel just feeling disconnected from the body, they come and they bring that sense of welcoming and belonging. So important. We need the gift of teaching so that the word of God can be taught and explained. Our differences are necessary. And it's not just spiritual gifts, but it's even our personalities, introverts, extroverts. All those differences are necessary. Let's move on. 1 Corinthians 12, 21 to 24. And then Paul writes, "And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you.' Or again, the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked." What does that mean? It means we need each other. We need each other. Paul illustrates this by describing kind of a ridiculous situation where the eye says to the hand, "I don't need you." Obviously impossible, right? And though there are certain parts of our body that are less pronounced, right? Obviously the eyes, we see with it, so we're very aware. Our taste, our sense of touch. But there's some parts of the body that we're not aware of. Maybe the kidney, the liver, the throat, I don't know. I'm so unaware, I can't even say what they are. But the point is, they are all needed. How do you know you need it? Especially when those parts are not functioning well. You know, right here, behind my neck, I'm never aware of this point. But sometimes, I get this thing called a pinched nerve. And if you've ever had a pinched nerve, it just suddenly you wake up like it's a pinch. It could be here, it could be in the back. As soon as you get it, your whole life changes because you can't sleep, because whenever you're rolling, this is an old person thing, by the way, a pinched nerve. You can't even sleep. You're rolling, you know, you naturally roll around when you sleep, and every time, you wake up. You can't even get up. Because your neck is so messed up and weak. You know how you get up? You have to sit up, but as you do, you have to grab your hair and pull yourself up to do a sit-up to support your neck. At least that's what I do. And then, of course, when you're moving around, someone says, like, "Hey, Kenny." And then you go, instead of this, right? And so your whole life changes. All to say, every part of the body is necessary and needed. Likewise, as the body of Christ, we need each other. The differences are important, and we need each other. So let's put it all together. I said, our differences don't disqualify us from the body. Our differences are necessary. And finally, we need each other. And so we find our first point. My first point is the way we love, so that all men would know that you are my disciples, is you need to be united by our differences. That's point one. The world right now, instead of being united by the differences, they are defined by their differences, right? We see this in social media, our algorithms. They're pushing content that just reinforce what you already feel. And as a result, it's causing more and more segregation. It's more clear what you believe, what your differences are, right? In some ways, it's more clear what you think, but it's causing segregation. And we look at politics. Are politics bringing people together? Depends. I can't speak for every country, but I would say for the most part, it's actually polarizing. It's kind of this feeling of you're either with me or you're against me. For the body of Christ, we are to be united by our differences. And it is a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. And I've experienced this, and I'm amazed by this. And where that kind of, where I get to see that is not just here, right? But really where we get to see this is in house church. I think of my house church. We have people of different race and cultures, people of different social economic classes, different life stages, right? From singleness to married to kids to grandparents, all in there. People of different spiritual gifts, different personalities, introverts, extroverts, and people of different levels of faith. And somehow, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are one. We connect. We love each other. We need each other. And we enjoy and celebrate each other. Last week, we had the conference. My house church is on Friday. And so we met after 2 weeks. And the feeling for everyone is, oh my gosh, it feels like it's been forever. We missed 1 week, but we just couldn't get enough of each other. We actually sincerely love each other, even though everyone is so different. Again, that's the first point. We are united by our differences. Let's continue on. In verse 24, following Paul, just expressing we need each other, the body parts, different body parts, we all need each other. In 1 Corinthians 12:25a, he follows up to say, so that there be no division in the body. This leads to our second point. The second point is, how do we love each other? No division. No division doesn't mean no disagreements. No division doesn't mean no differences. No division means that when there are differences, when there are disagreements, when you feel misunderstood, when you've been disappointed, you've been hurt, what is your response so that there is no division? What is your response to preserve unity? So, I'm not going to get into it, into too much detail, because Pastor Sam already spent 2 messages talking about reconciliation in the how-to for relationships. So instead of getting into the breakdown of things, I still wanted to encourage and inspire. And so I'm going to share with you a recent situation involving a Christian artist, musician by the name of Forrest Frank. So some of you might be familiar with this situation. So for some context, Forrest Frank, he's currently one of the biggest, if not biggest, Christian artists. And his music style is very current. It's kind of more upbeat and fun, very positive. And as a result, it's not just Christians. Even non-Christians kind of enjoy the music. And so he wrote this song called Good Day. Have you guys heard of it? Who's familiar with Good Day? Okay. Not very many people. Anyway, he wrote this song called Good Day. That's what he's known for. I'm not going to try to sing it. But what happened, I think a few months ago, he broke his back skateboarding. And so it's on video. It was caught by his, I guess, like doorbell camera, and it's bad. And he can barely move, and there's videos of him. Because he's actually, God led him to just document everything, his life. Not this injury, but just in general. So he happened to document, he's like yelling, he's in excruciating pain. Basically, his spine is fractured. And so you think about, I described my pinched nerve. So this, I imagine, is far more severe. And so he's incapacitated, and he's just in bed. And so what can he do? He's just lying in bed. So I feel like as a musician, what do? You would write a song about it. That's what you do. You go through difficult times, and you go to music to express yourself. So I'll play a clip. This is him in bed.
How will you make fire music with a fractured back, bro? I don't know. Let's find out.
I think I'm going to just sing whatever pops out, and then I'm going to build the chords around it.
God's got my back.
That's like, that's the lowest hanging fruit right there.
God's got my back.
I felt that one. It sounds pretty full to me. Let's do a full run through and see how it is.
God's got my back. Even when I fall or get attacked, God's got my back. Even when I'm low and full of lack, God's got my back. Even when my soul is full of sorrow, I don't have to worry about tomorrow. Why is that? 'Cause God's got my back right there, never left. I can feel your presence in every single breath.
All right. Pretty cool, right? So he writes this song, and it's an actual song now. So it's released. I think it's pretty popular. And what's even more amazing, what happens next, is he gets healed. He gets supernaturally healed. In 2 weeks, his back is supernaturally healed. And there's other videos. I didn't want to show too many videos. Like, it just took too much time. But he's supernaturally healed in 2 weeks. Normally, I did some research. For your back to be healed from a fracture in the spine, it generally takes 6 to 12 weeks. That's if it goes as expected. It can go up to a year. So he's supernaturally healed in 2 weeks. He has videos of like sharing about it. He shows his MRIs, because obviously he's basically, he forgot he had a broken back, and he just got up, started playing with his kids, and he's like, what? How am I doing this, right? And so he went to get an MRI to confirm. He shows the MRIs on the video before and after, and the cracks in his spine are gone. He's supernaturally healed. Amazing, yes. And so it's amazing because, well, number one, God does his miracle, but it's documented. And so God is glorified. I guess millions of people get to hear his testimony. And so it's amazing, right? The end, happily ever after. No. So this is all kind of going viral. And so as a result, a lot of people are kind of reacting and responding it. And as a result, people are kind of making videos, having some fun with it as well. And so one of those people is also well-known Christian artist, Corey Asbury. And so he, this is like 5 years ago, he did the song that went, Reckless Love, right? Not going to sing it, but it was Reckless Love. And he makes a video in response. And so I'm going to show, in a sec, show that video. But this is Forrest Frank, who is reacting to Corey Asbury's video. So let's turn to the screen.
Everyone has tagged me in this video of Corey Asbury. Apparently he got injured as well.
So I just got home from the hospital, and honestly, the meds are starting to wear off. A little trigger warning, but here's the video.
What's up, guys? I'm on the table getting a vasectomy.
So we didn't plan this, but, you know, my boy Forrest, he turned lemons into lemonade, and so I figured I still got use of my hands. You know, I could still make music. So I'm sitting here and decided to cook this song up, and hope it encourages y'all.
Snip, snip season, but we stay winning. Souls!
All right.
Spread the gospel. All right,
all right. Man, this is super tough. I know y'all are gonna be like, Forrest, you're way too sensitive, but this is like the 10th or even the 20th post I have seen from another Christian artist making fun of probably the most traumatic moment of my life, my wife's life. And I know that God has brought a lot of blessing from it, and maybe that's why y'all think it's cool to like now make fun of it. For some reason, my algorithm sends it directly to me. I can totally understand the fact you guys are just having fun. You're probably not even really thinking that I'm gonna see it. I'll just say this. To everybody who's making these videos, I'm not telling you to stop. but this raises a really interesting conversation with social media, because there's no seatbelt on a social media. I know there's a lot of kids that are watching this. You know, when you're in junior high and you're in high school, you're going to get made fun of a lot. All that being said, Corey, I'm still going to write you a song. So give me a second. Wow, that came out kind of heavy. Corey, I know that you're a deep songwriter. I think it would be really cool if we kind of tackled this subject together, if you're down to play ball. So I'm thinking I'm going to call it Misunderstood. Here it is.
Sometimes words hit you in the chest, sting you like a bee, and rob you of your rest. And heaven knows sometimes people try to mean well, but trauma from their past got them stuck inside of hell. Well, it's okay if you feel misunderstood. There's a man who did as well when they nailed him to wood. And even through all the pain, still he forgave them. So I can forgive somebody too.
Good. So notice Forrest's response, right? He, instead of bringing accusation or aggression or, you know, defensiveness, instead he expresses understanding of why people are kind of having fun with it. But yet, he's still honest that he's been hurt. And so what does he do? He extends an invitation for collaboration. An offer for relationship. Now, here's Corey Asbury's response to the video. Two more videos.
Boris Frank, I saw your video, man. My phone has been absolutely blowing up, brother. Let me take this opportunity to say, I apologize, man. I never meant to poke fun at anything that you were going through. I don't know if you've noticed this lately, but you've been kind of blowing up, and your content is almost a template to have fun and create. So everybody's jumping on it. I experienced this with Reckless Love. People sort of coming out of the woodwork to attach themselves to that, to get some views and some likes from it. So, bro, I apologize for being one of those people. I heard your song, and I think it's really powerful, man. I'm down to go there with you, bro. If I may, I'd love to just pull back the curtain a little bit. I've seen all the comments, you know, he's a heretic, he's going to hell, he's a wolf in sheep's clothing, this and that. And maybe that's my fault for never introducing myself to y'all in a deep way. This is no excuse, but I grew up in a home where it was rough. A lot of things going on, a lot of screaming, a lot of yelling. When I use comedy as a way to lighten the load of life, bring levity to an otherwise heavy situation, humor has always been a big part of my life. It's helped me make friends, and I'll admit that there's been times that I've taken it too far, and I'll own that. But what I have is a high value for honesty and transparency. You know, living here in Nashville, I see a lot of people that are one way behind closed doors in a completely different way with their friends. It's always been a goal of mine to treat social media like a group chat with the boys. What you see is what you get. I'm not fake. I'm not putting on a performance for anyone. That's no excuse. I feel misunderstood as well. And I can see the bigger picture here. I know that I brought this on myself. If I were to write a verse on this, it maybe be something like, sometimes words cut so deep, it's hard to be kind when anger's all you've seen. The shadow of home can stretch long through the years, covers up the sunshine even when the sky's clear. 'Cause it's okay if you feel misunderstood. There's a man who did as well when they nailed him to wood. Even through all the pain, still he forgave them. So I can forgive somebody too.
All right. So you notice, what was Corey's response? Was he defensive? No. It was immediate and humble. He apologized without excuse. He explained his perspective. He let Forrest know a little bit more about him, where he's coming from. And then he gladly accepted the invitation. Finally, last video, it kind of all comes together. This is, it's basically two clips in one, where it's Forrest's response to Corey, and then Corey's reaction to Forrest. Hope you guys caught that. Anyway, it all makes sense in the video.
Thank you, Corey, for being honest and real. I am someone who has looked at stuff you've posted and been like, what's up with this dude? I'm not saying I'm better. I signed up for Mockery from the World, and I signed up for unity with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Vastly, what I've seen is crickets from the world and mockery with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I know people are watching this, and they're like, yup, I've seen it. So I posted that. Here is the interesting thing, guys. He had like 5,000 comments on his page, just like, yo, you're the worst. And what's crazy is I didn't know his story and you don't know his story. So we've been on the phone and I've gotten to hear this guy's story. And within a few seconds, I felt resolution. You know, 10, 15 minutes, I'm like, I think I have a new best friend. 3 days ago, I literally have goosebumps right now. Corey, I'm crying right now. I'm like, bro, a few days ago, I was like texting my friends like, yo, what's up with Corey? I don't know this dude. And then now I want you to come over to my house and have dinner with my family. I see your heart and I see your story and I love you, dog, straight up. I explained this in a video, but I did this 30-day journal and I felt like God was saying, hey, I want you to document everything in real time. That's what's happening. And now you're my brother and only God can do that. Let's reach out to each other directly. Your worst enemy could be your best friend in one phone call.
Dang. I feel the same, man. Thank you for your kindness leading the way on this, man. You said something right there at the end. A brother's just one phone call away. I wonder if there's something to that.
Musicians. Always inspired by everything.
Sometimes two friends are just one call away. And years full of hurt can be healed in a day. 'Cause we're all part of one family. So who am I to chop down a family tree? 'Cause it's okay if you feel misunderstood. There's a man who did as well when they nailed him to the wood. Even through all the pain, still he forgave it. So I can forgive somebody too.
Wow. I see some tears. I didn't expect that. Right? But wasn't that beautiful? The result was reconciliation. And not just a brother in Christ by name, but now brother in Christ in relationship. Why is this so inspiring? Because they didn't give up on each other. They chose connection over division. When friction occurs, we must remember what Christ did to reconcile us to him, to the extent that he gave his life to us. Motivated by his grace, we can choose not to give up on one another. Give each other a chance. No division. Okay, moving on. We're going to get to my final point soon. We're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, go from 25 to 26, the second part of 25. Paul writes, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Our final point is simple yet profound. Care. It seems obvious, but are we doing it? We all love to be cared for, right? Even when I'm saying the final point, the key to love is care. You're probably thinking of other people who are not giving enough care to you. But are we willing to be the ones to care? Our motivation starts with Jesus, who cared for us so deeply that he gave his life to us while we were still sinners. Romans 5:8. Knowing we are fully cared for frees us from being fixated on our own needs and empowers us to care for others. So take a minute, just a moment, to reflect on your life. Think of someone you are currently in relationship with. It could be a friend, a house church member, a family member. How are you caring for them? Remember, love is more than just words or sentiment or feeling. Love is an action. What is the action you are taking to show your care for that person in your relationship? Now, verse 26 says, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Verse 26 presents us with opportune moments to care. To really show care, it doesn't happen all the time. I mean, you can, but where it's really meaningful is those moments of need in other people's life. When people are sick, they're struggling emotionally or financially, or celebrating a birth. In these moments, we have a choice. Do I want to just be comfortable, do nothing, or will you inconvenience yourself to take the time to visit, help, or rejoice with them? This is love in action. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Maybe in this moment, you can't really think of a situation where you've really cared for someone. Take an action. Does that mean you are a crappy friend? Yes. Yes, it does. But there's hope. There's hope in God. And let me share this with you to give you some hope. 7 years ago, my wife, Janie, she was pregnant and about to give birth to our second child, our son Jonah. And the first pregnancy was hard. Second pregnancy, even more hard. By that, just the nausea, what sickness? What's it called? Morning sickness. I was going to say seasickness, but I knew that was not it. Apparently, it's similar. The morning sickness. But for her, it wasn't morning. It was the whole time, right? And so I thought, all right, you know what I'm going to do as a good husband? When she's feeling terrible, I want her to get all the rest she needs. So I'm going to just take on the responsibility, step up, and take care of my daughter. And she was 3 years old, so kind of a difficult time. And so basically, I come home, I would just spend time with my daughter and then put her to bed. Weekends, just do the whole day, just me and her. And as a result, it was tiring. It was hard. But as a result, my daughter and I were pretty tight. I think I'm her favorite. Unless she's hurt, then she goes to mommy. But anyway, so we're really close, and I thought I was doing an amazing job. And sometimes, you know, I just, you know, at the end of the day, I'm exhausted, tired, and I look at my wife, and she's just like lying in bed, and she's just like trying to kill time, right? To get through the morning sickness. And so she's just really just on her phone. And I think there's a little bit of resentment because I was like, man, I was basically jealous, right? I wish I could do what she's doing. And then at some point, she expresses dissatisfaction towards me, saying, hey, like, you know, I appreciate you taking care of your daughter, but I don't feel like you're really taking care of me. And I was like, what? How dare you, right? And she brought it up, and it was kind of not really resolved. She shared it, and I was like, basically, I was defensive, like, what? How dare you say that? I'm doing so much. And I didn't feel appreciated. And then after that, after her birth, it came up again. Like, it was not resolved. And, like, we're just going back and forth, basically saying, like, you don't care for me. You don't appreciate me. And we're justifying why I'm more caring than the other person, right? And then she just breaks down and starts crying. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, so thick in the head. Basically, oh my gosh. Like, she's really hurt by this. And what happened was, like, maybe because I'm an only child, so I, like, for me, being alone and on my own is, like, wonderful. So basically, I treated her how I would have wanted to be treated. However, she's not an only child, and she's relational. And so what she needed from me was still support and care. But it was just at the end of the night, I was just so tired. I just wanted my own space and sleep. But what she needed was care and attention and support. And, you know, when you cry, it kind of like, it's like, oh my gosh, I really hurt the person. You shouldn't do this intentionally, just so you know. But if it comes out naturally, and I've done that too, I've cried, and then she's like, it kind of works. And then I felt so bad. I was like, oh my gosh, like, you know, she's the mother of my child. She has to bear this for 9 months. And I couldn't even inconvenience myself to take care of her. And I felt so bad. Because I remember before I got married and after I got married, I made this kind of vow. And the vow was, I'm never going to take my wife for granted. I'm going to always appreciate her and cherish her, because I really don't know how I could possibly be married. Sometimes I still think about it, like the idea of, like, I have a wife and kids. I can't fathom, like, how that happened. And so as a result of that, I was like, I'm going to always appreciate her. And then in this opportune moment where she's feeling terrible physically, emotionally, she feels so isolated, what did I do? I justified it. And so that was my experience, full of regret. And I remember after that, praying and just telling myself, I'm not going to let it happen again. Next time there's an opportune moment, I'm going to seize it. 7 years later, I think this was a few months ago, like 3-4 months ago. And I gotta praise my wife. She's like really low maintenance, right? She doesn't have like crazy ups or downs all the time. And so, good or bad, these opportune moments don't really come very often. And so literally 7 years later, a few months ago, my wife is going through stuff. Yes, all of these intrusive thoughts and she's just ups and downs, and she thought we're going to have to like move in with my auntie in new territories and start our life there for some reason. Like it was like really, like she was just going with it. And yeah, you know, even in that moment, even with that revelation, there was part of me not wanting to figure it out with her, because it's like a lot of work and, you know, she's needy and I gotta give and care for her, like normal stuff, right? And what I usually would say to her, and it's like, you need to spend time with God. It sounds so spiritual. But it's more like, I can't do this. Go to God and he'll deal with you. But at this moment, I recognized because there was so much stuff going on, it was hard for her to really hear from God. And so it was my opportunity to step in. So that was the opportunity. I stepped in. I did the best. I was praying for her, ministering to her. We were going on walks with, because we have a dog. And I know, like, I shared about, like, me and Ben, we connected because at the beginning times of having a dog, we, like, fantasized about, like, losing our dog or our dog being sick because it was just, like, overwhelming, the poop and pee everywhere. But I got to say, the dog has been, like, it's a godsend because every night we would walk the dog together. We would share. We would, then afterwards, we would pray. It was, like, it kind of just forced us, because there was this need to do this. And so I've been doing my best to be there for her. And then it culminated, like, she was really out of it and just couldn't connect and hear with from God. And I was like praying, and God was like, oh, you know what? You got to get her out of the city. Do a retreat. And so me and the kids, we retreated. We went to Shenzhen. And I told the kids, don't bring up anything bad. Don't bring up this or that. Don't fight. Because the point is, mommy can relax and not, I don't want her to feel stressed. She's like, oh, okay. And so we had a great time in Shenzhen. We come back. I think we got back at like 11 p.m. I'm exhausted. You know, I'm on the couch. She's in the living room. And I'm just like, oh, I'm so tired. But it was a great time. And God says, now's the time to pray. And I was like, basically, are you serious? And I was like, okay. And then we prayed. And because she was able to retreat and kind of like all the emotions were able to just like let go of and just kind of be normal again, we prayed and God showed up. And she started weeping. And she's like, God loves me. You love me. Why do you love me? And then I shared with her. I was like, hey, you know, I got to tell you, it goes back to taking you for granted. And I know I apologize at that time, but those are just words, right? And maybe it did something, but to really show you I care and love for you, I have to do it through my actions. And part of the motivation this time is to do that. And God, I think, just took our relationship, like, we always, in one, hey, how are we doing relationally? And I can say, we're doing pretty good. We're doing good. And I share that, again, back to, if you feel like you're a crappy friend, or you are a crappy friend, there's hope. I was a crappy husband. But there's hope if you're willing. So that brings me to conclusion. Let's return to the words of Jesus. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And we make this love visible through being unified by our differences, choosing no division when conflicts arise, and practicing care for each other. I'll invite the worship team up. And so perhaps the Holy Spirit is stirring on your heart right now. He's revealing areas in your relationship that are lacking. Do something about it. Do something about it. And by that, I mean pray. Do something about it. Pray. Pray for God to bring you opportunities and chances, and pray for the will to seize those opportunities when they come. And so we have communion today, but before we get into communion, I'm just going to play the song that Forrest and Corey, the entirety of this song, to you. And so I just hope, even as this, it's not really a worship song, it's more a reflection song, but just let the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Maybe it'll touch you, areas of life, people you should reach out to, ways that you can care for people. And so just let the Holy Spirit. And if that's the case, just start praying. Okay? Let's play the video.
Sometimes words hit you in the chest, sting you like a bee, and rob you of your rest. And heaven knows sometimes people try to mean well, but trauma from their past got them stuck inside of hell. Well, it's okay if you feel misunderstood. There's a man who did as well when they nailed him to it. And even through all the pain, still he forgave them. So I can forgive somebody too.
Sometimes words can cut so deep. It's hard to be kind when anger's all you've seen. The shadow of home can stretch long through the years. It covers up the sunshine even when the sky is clear. 'Cause it's okay. I can forgive somebody too.
I can forgive somebody too.
Just one call away.
Years full of hurt could be gone in a day.
We're all part of one family.
So who am I to cut down the tree? It's okay if you feel misunderstood.
I can forgive somebody too.
I can forgive somebody too. I can forgive somebody too.
'Cause the good Lord first forgave me.
Right. Amen. So I like how they mentioned it's because of Jesus. Because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. And why he was put on the cross. That he understands what it's like to be hurt, to be misunderstood, to be accused. And yet, he was willing to die on the cross for us. The very people who put him on the cross, he would die for them so that there would be no division, that we would be reconciled to him. So let's just stay in this attitude of a posture of having a prayerful heart. We're going to take the Lord's Supper today. Perfect, right? And so if you haven't had a chance to receive the elements yet, if you could just raise your hand and the ushers are going to hand them out to you. Just leave your hands up. And I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat the bread and drink the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep." So the Bible says here that as we're about to take the Lord's Supper, to acknowledge, to celebrate what Jesus did for us, we are to do it with also a clean heart. So take a moment, ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart. Search your heart. And if there are things that are needed, I encourage you to repent, to confess them. And then just take some time to reflect. Reflect on creation, the cross, resurrection, how God has saved you, revealed himself to you. And so let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for what you did on the cross, the significance of it all, that while we were sinners, you gave up your life for us. And we're the very ones who put you on the cross, and yet you loved us so much that you would reconcile us still to you, that you would be willing to die for us, Lord. And as a result, we have this relationship with you that is unhindered, Lord. That doesn't require us to earn, to sacrifice, Lord. What you want for us is just to love, a love relationship. And so we thank you for setting us free and that we have you in our life to walk with us, to be with us, to have relationship with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take this together. Let's open this up first. All right. This is Christ's body broken for us. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for us. Let's take this together. Let's rise to our feet and just let's respond through worship. Thank you. pray together. Jesus, Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. And we know you created us, Lord, for relationship. You created us in your image. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You've always been in relationship, in perfect unity, abiding in each other. And that was your intention when you created us as well. And so, Lord, help us. It's not easy. We're so self-centered, Lord. Even though if we know in our head what we should do in that moment when we need to do to show care and love and die to ourselves and serve each other, Lord, oftentimes we fall short. And so, Lord, would you help us? Help us. Give us strength that our flesh would not lead us, but it would be our spirit be led, would be the one to lead. And I just pray for those opportune moments, Lord, to come for all of us. And I just felt like the Lord, even now as I was praying, maybe there are some of you who there's some stirring. Maybe there's names or people that God has brought to you. And there's a conviction, but there's also hesitancy of the unknown. I feel like the Lord is saying to you, be hopeful. Be hopeful. Just try. Just try. And all you need is to just try. Have faith, but the size of a mustard seed. And so all it requires is just obedience. And God is going to walk with you and be in it. And so thank you, Lord, that even in this, you don't leave us to do it on our own, but you do it with us. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forward. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.